Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter in chapter 1. Still in verse 7. I guess I could speed it up, but I'm not sure if you all could keep up, so I'll just... It is good to see you. Always good to be with the people of God and meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read the text this morning, and then I'm going to make a few announcements, things that need to be taken care of here real quick, and then we'll get back to the text. So we left off in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the saints of God. We thank you for the Bible. Help us to understand it, and more importantly, help us to live it and apply it in our lives. Have mercy upon us where we fail you and sinned against you. Amen. And you only. Lord, we trust the blood of Christ, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Amen. Bless all those that are here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a couple of announcements before anybody forgets. Just a reminder, there is an elder and deacon meeting tonight. That is a reminder. Brother David wanted me to suggest that that men that want to come or ladies that want to come help spread some mulch around next Saturday morning. What time, David?
This Saturday. It's coming Saturday.
10
o'clock.
10 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully it won't be too hot. So... all right. Also, the word of the day is, you ever have the question, the difference between religion and relationship? Many times people ask us, what religion are you? I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. Well, here's the difference. Religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. Relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. There's the difference. Also, I wanted to go back on Wednesday night. Apparently, I made a mistake. It happens every once in a while. And I just thought I would bring this up because it's a great teaching moment. It's also a great learning moment. In James chapter 5 and verse 4, I use this as a text just before we went to prayer, where it says, behold, the hire of the laborers have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of, and here's that word, I said Sabbath, and that's actually not Sabbath. It's actually, as you say, pronounce it in this U.S. American way, is Sabbath. If you say it like the Brits, you say Sabbath. But anyway, it's not Sabbath. It's actually the Lord of hosts. That is a transliteration of the Greek word which came over from Hebrew, and it is Lord of hosts. You find it twice in the New Testament, one here in James and the other one in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 29. I would like to say I stand in good company because Edmund Spencer also used this word as Sabbath. So I guess, you know, if you don't know who Edmund Spencer is, look it up. He wrote The Faerie Queen, became very famous for that. He was a renowned English poet. So, Mr. Spencer. So, that is a thought. And the reason I wanted to bring that up, I thought it was very important, is because we do read from an old English Bible. And there are words in there that we tend to think that we understand, but we really don't understand them unless we take a second look or somebody happens to tell us, hey, that's a little bit different in my Bible. Why is that? You might want to look into that and see. And many times, 9 times out of 10, you just go to the dictionary and you find the obsolete or archaic meaning. And that's probably the meaning. So just a heads up as you're reading the Bible. Now back to our text. What a blessing it is, the fact that God allows, God saves us. That's a tremendous blessing, right? That He would save sinners like us. I was talking with Amanda yesterday. By the way, thanks for all those that came out for evangelism yesterday. We got out a few tracks yesterday, and it was a blessing. I was talking to Amanda yesterday about, well, how is it that some people can read the Bible, or at least profess to read the Bible, and never understand salvation? Don't have an answer to that one, but I'm thankful that I saw it.
Amen.
I saw the light, as we sing sometimes. I saw the light. The light of my understanding, or my understanding, was lightened by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And I saw that salvation was by grace, and that even a sinner like me could be saved. And what a blessing that is. And Peter was definitely saved. He was a saved man. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and he preached Christ, and he was a faithful brother, and we're thankful for that. And he's giving us his letter here. And notice what he says here, this last part, because we talked about the trial of our faith last week. But the last part of this, verse 7, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to have rewards in his hands. And he's going to be rewarding believers that were faithful even though their faith was tried. And that is an amazing thing, that God would not only save us, but then reward us for serving.
Wow.
Yeah. We ought to be willing to serve him with no reward whatsoever, but he giveth more grace. He pours on upon us abundant blessings, and there's going to be some that he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow, isn't that going to be a blessing?
Amen.
And he says, praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Did you know the Bible talks about two appearings of Jesus Christ? The first one is historical. He appeared in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. They called him Emmanuel, God with us. He was the Holy One of God. He is Christ, the Son of God, who came down and dwelt among men. And Peter saw him. Peter lived and worked with him for 3.5 years. What a blessing that must have been. Peter walking around with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I, we didn't get to participate in that, but Peter did. And we have his story, and we have his testimony of how he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know what amazing thing that is, that Peter got to see the Lord? Well, that's why we're listening to his epistle, that we're reading it right now, is because he was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ. But just think about that. He saw the Lord baptized. He saw the Spirit of God coming down upon Jesus Christ in the River Jordan. And he heard the voice of the Father from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Peter was astounded as a professional fisherman that he fished all night long, didn't catch anything. And then at the word of the Master, he let down the net, and fish came out of the sea and filled that net. Peter got to see that. Peter was there when people brought their sick and feeble to them, and the Lord touched them and healed them. Peter was there when he raised the dead. He called Lazarus out of the grave. Peter got to see that. Peter was there when he saw the Lord himself walking upon the water. He was a little bit frightened at first, but he said, if that be thou, Lord, bid me to come. And Peter himself walked on the water. He got to experience that. It was Peter that saw and heard the Lord preaching so many great sermons that we preach to this day. He heard it in the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about it, but Peter was there. I was there. I remember that sermon.
Amen.
I remember that sermon. That was a great sermon. He was standing afar off when they crucified our Lord. He got a little bit discouraged when they put him in the grave, but 3 days later he saw the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected. Peter was there when the Lord praised him and the Lord rebuked him. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. That was the first appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says he's going to appear again.
Amen.
He's going to come again. Look over in John in chapter 14. It's a promise for us. He He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, here's the promise, I will come again.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Yeah.
And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know the JWs like to walk on, knock on the door, and you know, they talk about staying on where you're going to spend the eternity. Are you going to be in paradise? You know what I always tell them? I'm going to be wherever the Lord is.
Amen.
Heaven, earth, wherever the Lord is, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Where are you going to be? And Jesus promised that he's come again. And so when we do have trials of our faith and we do have afflictions that come to us and that afflict all men, we can endure because we know he's coming again. Do you know that he's coming again?
Amen.
He's promised to come again.
Yeah.
Look over in Hebrews in chapter 9 just to verify what I've just said. Verse 28. He says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, I've mentioned this several times in our messages up to this point, that salvation is a triune salvation. It's a three-part salvation, that we are saved, we are being saved, and we shall be saved. And that was all done in Christ Jesus. From God's perspective, it's already done in Christ. From our perspective, because we're under the influence of time, it has a time meter to it. So we can say by faith we are saved and we are sitting in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus according to Ephesians chapter 2. We are saved. In other verses we can say that God is saving us. He's delivering us daily from different temptations and whatnot. He is saving us. But one day we're going to be with him completely saved from the presence and the influence of sin. And oh, glorious day that's going to be.
Yeah.
He says he's coming again. It's the second time. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter mentions this again in this first epistle. In verse 4 he says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow.
Yeah.
One day there's going to be a trumpet going off and we're going to hear that trumpet. And we're going to be with them in a twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
I just can't even imagine. I'm just thinking about it. It just gets me, you know, I get them tingly fingers just thinking, wow, what's that going to be like? No more temptation, no more sin, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more agony, no more injustice, no more unrighteousness, holiness. In the presence of God, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a day that's going to be.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4. It seems this is the refrain of the apostles in their epistles. They're talking about the second coming of the Lord over and over again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Now, I'm not going to go into this, but some people use this verse, myself included, to differentiate the two appearings of Jesus Christ. One, he comes, doesn't land on the earth, but comes in the air to take the church out. We call that the rapture. Not going into that this morning. And the other one is when he actually comes and puts the foot on the ground and establishes his kingdom on the earth. And we notice it says here, at his appearing and his kingdom. But the point I want to make is, he's coming again.
Yeah.
He's coming again. Could be today. Wouldn't that be something?
Amen.
Same chapter, verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his what? His appearing. Are you looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does your life, do your actions match up with that longing? Isn't it amazing? If we're longing for the Lord Jesus Christ and looking for him to come, it should have an influence on our life. Hey, if the Lord came back today, would you change how you live? If you got a text, say, I'm coming back today. I'll be there in a minute. Would it have any type of influence on your thought process or your actions? I know it would me, and shame on me. It really shouldn't. It should be, I already know that. I got that message a long time ago. Yeah. I've already read that in the book. I know he's come. I've been looking for him every day. God help us to look for him every day. God help me to look for the Lord Jesus Christ every day. He promised to come. Can he lie? Is he a liar? Has he ever lied? Then he's going to fulfill his word. He's coming again. Are you ready for that?
Amen.
What a day. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously, righteously and godly in this present world. How should we live? How does it say here? Soberly. So the sales at Bud Light should not have been affected at all by your purchasing power. It doesn't matter where they did, they bombed it on a commercial or not. It doesn't really matter because you live soberly, right? Soberly. What else? Righteously. What else? Godly. How about if that is our testimony? Man, that guy lives soberly. Man, that young lady, boy, she lives righteously. And they all live godly.
Amen.
That ought to be our testimony, that we're godly people. In this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That glorious appearing. Oh, happy day.
Amen.
Amen.
He's coming. He's coming. I think I've told this story before, but my daughter-in-law, she teaches at a school. And any of you have been a teacher in public schools, you know that the vice principal or the principal come around and do inspections. But normally they don't make the announcement that they're coming. They just sort of show up in your class and they're going to evaluate. I know that happened with me when I was teaching English as a second language in Warsaw. We had a methodologist that would come around. And, you know, when you're sitting down, your class is about ready to start, and he walks in the back door. And you're thinking, uh-oh. And you're thinking, what about mess, but, you know, my lesson? And you just start, you know, the nerves. Well, that happens to the first teacher. It doesn't happen to the other teachers because immediately a text goes out, he's coming. And then all of them are prepared. Hey, I want to send out a text. He's coming!
Amen.
It's written in the book. He's coming again!
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is he your life?
Yes.
He is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him glory.
Amen.
Where'd they go? They went to glory.
Amen.
Where are they at? They went to glory. They're with him. Where are they? Where's that Robert? He's with Jesus.
Amen.
Where's Lyndall go? He's with Jesus.
Yeah.
Where's Joel? He's with Jesus.
Let's go.
Where'd that church in Oak Knoll go? They're with Jesus.
Amen.
They're in glory.
Amen.
He's coming.
Yeah.
Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. God's got a different watch than we do, don't we, doesn't he? Hey, when you get on God's time schedule, everything is different. He said, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. What a day that's going to be. What a day. He's coming. And that's what Peter says here. Peter, who had saw him, and he says, might be found on the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Then notice what he says in verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what? That is an experience that Peter could not have. Did you realize that? That is an experience that you and I have that Peter didn't have. Peter saw him, and what a blessing that was. And so Peter's writing this letter, I am amazed at your faith. Because you can rejoice even though you have not seen him. And you do rejoice, and you haven't seen him. That is amazing to me. That's the intent. That's how I understand that. Peter say, I am amazed at you, brethren, that you haven't seen the Lord, and you haven't seen him raise the dead, and you haven't seen him get baptized. You haven't seen him. You didn't see him walking on water. You didn't see him heal the leper. You didn't see him heal the blind. You didn't see him at the transfiguration. You didn't see all the miracles that he did. Yet you rejoice. I'm amazed at your faith.
Amen.
Wow, what great faith.
Amen. Praise
the Lord.
That's you.
Yes.
That's you. Peter's writing. He said, hey, I'm amazed at your faith.
Amen.
You haven't seen him, but you rejoice with joy unspeakable.
Amen.
Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul exhorts still the young Timothy that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. One day, God, Jesus Christ is going to reveal to us God. What a day that's gonna be.
Amen.
Wow. We get a glimpse. Look it over in John chapter 1 and verse 18 where it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So Jesus Christ is the declaration of God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, but his flesh was a veil because if we looked at God himself, we would die. John 14:9, Jesus said this, have I been so long with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? In Hebrews 1, it says he is the express image.
Yeah.
Of God. So when you see Jesus, you do see God, but as so to speak, in a veil. The veil of the flesh. As he says, God manifests in the flesh. Look over in John 20 and verse 29. You know the story, Thomas. For whatever reason, he wasn't at a meeting. Not saying he was backslidden, don't know the reason, don't know the circumstances, maybe his mother was ill, maybe she had some troubles, maybe he had it, you know, the car broke down and he couldn't get there. We don't know the reason. He just was not at the meeting that Jesus showed up at. And isn't that frustrating? The one meeting out of the year that you didn't make it and Jesus was there. Man, I had to work overtime, I couldn't make the meeting and wow, Jesus showed up. What's with that? And it's so unbelievable. It's, Thomas says, no, you guys are pulling my leg. What are you talking about? So Jesus says here, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Guess who that is?
Amen.
I'm looking at them. Did you know that you're blessed?
Yes.
Then what are you complaining about?
Amen.
You can go on to work tomorrow happy as a cucumber. I don't know how cucumbers are happy, but you can go in, you can go into work tomorrow very happy, and everybody can say, what's going on with you? And you can say, I'm blessed.
Amen. Yeah.
My coworkers constantly ask me, what is wrong with you? I'm blessed. Why are you so happy? I'm blessed.
Amen. Right. Right.
Amen. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven.
Amen.
When Jesus made that statement, it was sort of prophetic because he's talking about you and I. He's talking about the people that Peter was writing unto. You have not seen him, but you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Why? Because by faith we see him.
Amen.
By faith we know him. We have heard his words, his promises.
Praise the Lord.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
Amen.
Now, right now, we're the sons of God. You're a son of God. You're an heir of heaven. You're an heir. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Wow, it's pretty glorious right now, isn't it? Really, when you think about it. Aren't we a blessed people?
Yes. Amen.
But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I believe it was Helen Keller, or what was the one that wrote, I can't think of her name. Anyway, thank you. You read my mind. Fanny Crosby. One day waking up in the presence of the Lord, the first thing she ever sees is the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. We're going to be like him. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a hero in your life? And you think, boy, I'd like to be like him. Boy, I'd like to be like her. What's it going to be like when we're like Jesus Christ? No sin. No temptation. No ungodliness. No unrighteousness. No injustices. No mistakes. Holiness, perfection. We're going to be like him. No more death. No more sickness. No more trouble with the eyes. No more trouble with the knees. No more trouble with the foot and the toe. No more trouble with the hair.
Amen.
Well, I know the Lord is bald. I don't know. But we're going to be like him. I don't think we're going to be looking like him in the sense that we're going to have the same features. Obviously, it seems to me when I read the Bible that there's some sort of identifying feature so that we can know when Jesus or when the disciples saw the Lord transfigured, they saw Moses and Elijah. So there were some differences there. There was no conversation on the Mount of Transfiguration. Which one is Jesus? Which one is Jesus? Are all three of these? No. So there are differences. There is a way to recognize. I think when it says we're going to be like him, it's talking about in holiness, righteousness, that type of thing.
Yeah.
We're going to have a body like his that's not going to be corruptible. What a blessing that's going to be.
Yeah.
Then he says in our text, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though ye, now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Yeah.
What a day. What a day. James chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's the word of God. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you got it, let me know. Everybody there? I want you to follow with me.
Amen.
This is really amazing. Paul says, for we know that of our earthly house, of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. He's talking about this thing here, this house we're living in, this body. If this thing was dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
Wow. I've had people call me in at work and they say their house burned down. They don't have a place to live right now. But you burn this house down, you dissolve this house, we got an eternal one.
Amen.
In glory.
Yeah. Amen.
Eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, don't we? We do groan. Oh man, we groan. We got aches and pains and woes and problems and difficulties. That's not even talking about the temptation of sin. We just have in our natural life aches and pains and groanings. I believe it's over in Romans chapter 8, the whole earth groans until that day. It's groaning, it's creaking, it's having earthquakes and windstorms and heat waves and droughts and it's just groaning, waiting for that day. It's going to be restored to its original beauty. Oh, happy day. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Don't we have some burdens? Every Wednesday night, any unspoken requests? People are carrying burdens, aren't they? Every one of us. Burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You may hear me groaning, and you may hear, I understand the burden that we carry, but by faith I can say, one day I'm going to be clothed with immortality.
Amen.
Uncorruptness forever. Complete holiness in the presence of God.
Amen.
You too,
Amen.
If you're saved. You too.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Amen.
And he says he's given us an earnest, how did he say it? An earnest, how does it go here? How do you say? Now you're out of the self same God. Earnest of the Spirit. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. You're going to get a repetition of this. Listen to what it says. This is a great verse. This is one of those verses you ought to put a big star by. Talking about Christ in verse 13. In whom? In Christ. Ye also trusted. You trusted Christ. When did you do that? After ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom? In Christ also, after that ye believed. What happened after ye believed? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purposed possession unto the praise of His glory. God says, I'm saving you, and here's the down, I guess it's not the down payment, but it's the earnest. Here's the earnest. I'm giving you the Spirit of God, so you have full confidence I'm going to complete the transaction. What I promised I will fulfill, what I began I will complete. Amen. Praise God, and we wait to that day when we appear before Him in glory. And Peter says, you haven't seen Him, but I just have rejoicing in you that you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Amen. By faith, and that's you and I, brethren. Amen. You and I. And that's what Peter is talking about. Amen. And we've only gotten through 7 or 8 verses in this month. But what a blessing so far.
Amen.
It's amazing what this commercial fisherman can give us as insights into the Lord. He walked with the Lord. He had some experiences with the Lord. I like to be around people that have known the Lord and walked with the Lord. I like to be around that have spent years walking with the Lord and faced trials and temptations and overcome them and got the victory and still walking and praising God. That's why we meet, brethren. One of the many reasons for us meeting together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is we can hear the testimony of the grace of God in the lives of our brothers and sisters. We can hear the testimony of Christ in them, the hope of glory, as they work out their salvation. We are so thankful. What a blessing.
Yeah.
Even so come, Lord
Amen.
Jesus. Did you get the message? He's coming.
Amen.
He's on His way.
Amen.
Look it up. It's right here in the book. Yeah? If you want to feel like it's a text, okay, get your Bible program, look it up, and you can call it a text. I got a text from God. He's coming.
Amen.
Are you ready?
Amen.
He's coming. All right, let's thank the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your mercy and your grace. We're thankful for the blessings. And Lord, we do groan and we are burdened. And we say with our mouths and our hearts, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be free from sin. Lord Jesus, we want to be freed from this old ungodly world. Lord, we want to be free from the frailties of life and death and corruption. Oh, God, we wait for you to come. Oh, even so come, Lord Jesus, that you might be magnified. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take a quick break, and afterwards we'll have the preaching hour. What's going on, bro?
Get a hair bone on that one.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning, fine. Thank you.
Good morning. Is the wife here?
Yes.
Okay.
The brothers are here.
And there you go.